Om Shanti, good morning everyone, and welcome to our very beautiful and unique session today, which is going to be a conversation between Brother David and Sister Cicely. Most of you would have seen Brother David, possibly in Madhuban or the UK. He's a very old and very gold soul of Baba's. I think one of the original jewels who came to Baba in 1977. 1976, so that's what, 43 years almost with Baba. Such a wealth of experience and practice. And he currently runs the centre in Leeds, Northern England, and has recently given up his practice as a dentist. And Sister Cicely is originally from the UK, but now lives in America. So you can't tell from her accent which side of the pond she's from. but Sister Cicely has a master's in psychology and has been with Baba for 5 years. And she has been a host for many TV series, specifically one called, The Give and Take of Virtues in Life. That sounds very interesting to have on TV. And she likes to call herself a lifetime educator, as she has taught from preschool all the way up to adulthood. So we're very interested in this conversation about the practical applications of Manmanabhav and Madhyajibhav in our lives. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay? Wonderful. So thank you for that wonderful introduction. So I welcome you, good morning, on this wonderful Satguruwa day. I don't think I needed to say day, right? Satguruwa means Satguruwa day, right? But it's all okay, the drama is accurate. So the topic is practical application. Let me say, give him two Om Shantis, because Baba says it's okay to say Om Shanti twice. So Om Shanti, Om Shanti. So the practical application of Manmanabhav and Madhyajibhav in our lives. So we spanned in two directions. He has many years in Gyan. I'm not going to mention a number again. And this month for me is 5 years. So it'd be interesting to see our different takes on Manmanabhav and Madhyajibhav and how we apply it in our lives. So, Brother David, let's start with you and let's hear some things about you or wherever you want to start. The ball is in your court.
Well, this is quite a nice topic. We've kind of done Manmanabhav and Madhyajibhav to death through the whole season, and I kind of like this because I remember many years ago there was a psychologist, and he came to our talks and he said, why is it every time you always say the same thing, you know, Om Shanti? And I think Moyne was still in Leeds at that time. Shakespeare and said, well, brother, Om Shanti is the beginning of the journey, it's the end of the journey, and it's the method, the practice along the journey. And says, Om Shanti. So I've been thinking about this. I mean, our generation did have the fortune of meeting Baba personally, and Baba did indicate in those that I just had one Baba and none other. But it kind of took me quite a long time to kind of work out what that meant. Reason because I think I've always been very spiritual, and I probably had a deep love for God. However, because I was brought up in a Jewish family, which is I think there's more laws than there is the days of the year, it's a bit like. There was one thing that I really completely put, I think it broke my love for God, was this thing of fear the Lord and, you know, God smiting down the Egyptians and all this, that and the other. And so I completely lost my love for God. Or I thought, so I became an atheist. And then during conversations with friends, I was upgraded to agnostic. Agnostic means I do believe, but I'm not quite sure what. And then some of you know Sister Maureen, so we were on a spiritual search before we came to Brahma Kumaris, and part of that journey took us into New Age stuff. We were Findhorn, and which I now realise is basically Findhorn is a community up in North Scotland. It doesn't really have a particular philosophy, but one of the things they were big on, which I now understand, is like Western omnipresence. So the idea of omnipresence has been imported from India, and they had this idea of a pervading being, funnily enough, called the Beloved. And I used to like that, even though I said I didn't believe in God. And it was on the way back to Findhorn when we bumped into the Brahma Kumaris in Edinburgh, which is a beautiful part of Scotland. And if any of you visit the UK, or I'm not sure what it'll be after Brexit, it might not be in the UK. But if you get a chance to go to Scotland, it's a delightful, beautiful place. So we took the course with Sister Sudesh, or Sudesh Didi, and I can remember she gave a lesson on the soul and mind, intellect and scars, which I'd like to talk about a bit more. And then she not only explained about who God was, but she then actually explained what God does and what God doesn't do, which in essence is the essence of the Trimurti. And she said, God does not create happiness and sorrow. God only creates happiness. God does not create sorrow. And it was quite a powerful experience, because you know, sometimes when you get like a very fine, it's like a thorn. You know, sometimes in India, it goes in right deep, and it hurts, but you can't really find it. And when she said that God does not create sorrow, it was like someone had pulled a thorn out of my heart, and I realized that it was that concept that God creates sorrow and happiness that had killed my love for God.
Interesting. I would like to just touch on what you said about being an atheist, because Baba has now relieved us from that in the Murli. In fact, that everybody are atheists, because we really didn't know who God was. So I too, like Brother David, became an atheist. But I realized that once Baba shared in the Murli that we were atheists because we didn't know who he was. So it sort of made me feel better.
It's interesting. I mean, I know a lot of BKs, and particularly younger BKs, who you know, say, I don't believe in God. In fact, I remember there was one guy who came along to the course. He was Irish, actually. I'm looking. And he said, if you even mention God, I'm out. Yes. Okay. So I've spun it out to about four sessions. But then this guy, he fell in love with Baba. And then there was three, I call them youngsters, they were all early 20s, and all of them said, were proclaimed atheists, and 2 years later they were all on the youth panel representing Brahma Kumaris at an interfaith meeting. And so what I realized through that and my own is that actually it was the bad press that God had got, the wrong concepts that had destroyed my love for God. And I'd sort of, I mean, even the word's quite emotive in the West. It can really turn people off. But I realized I was looking for something. I was looking for truth. And I was looking for something that was authentic. And somehow, I think Baba fulfills that.
Absolutely. I too, like you, Brother Dave, even though we've spoken so much, I still keep learning new things, how we have a lot in common. But I too was on that journey for the authentic truth, because nothing made sense to me in all the religions that I went to. Some people even reminded me, they said, remember you as Rastafari? And I said, oh yeah, I forgot about that. You know, all these different things that I was searching. But it was good. I appreciate the journey, because if I had stayed one place, I wouldn't have found Baba. So I appreciate that, and going from place to place. And once I got the knowledge, it was like, oh, finally, this is the truth I was looking for. I've been sharing with some people how I basically was, you know, going from place to place and stuff like that. And so they asked me how I came into knowledge. So I said I was what they call the quote-unquote contact of the BKs. And I used to do some programs with them in regards to, I remember there was a Sister Shanti, I think her name was, from India, came one time, and I did an introduction for her, and I had gone to Peace Village, a friend invited me. And so I was sort of like in and out, sort of dabbling. And then what happened was I just, you know, just went down to the bottom, and I said, that's it, I'm going to take the knowledge. And once I took the knowledge, it was like, oh my goodness, finally. I just immediately adopted the tree and the cycle. Nothing disturbed me. Some people get disturbed by the ladder or the tree or the cycle or something, but everything made sense. I started to cry because it was like that relief. And I had found my home, and I've been home ever since for the last 5 years. Yes.
When I was a child, I had quite a few spiritual experiences, but there was no one to talk to them about. Because I love this thing about this knowledge of the, like, you recognize something, and you recognize it, and it literally means, doesn't it, to cognize again, to know something again. And Baba's knowledge of the cycle is just so, it's just mind-blowing, really, that, you know, we're here because we're here before, and that's why we recognize. And when I was a child, I would sort of dream of a world of light with little dots in. And if I didn't dream of it, I can remember at night sort of putting my head in the pillow and trying to see lights and things. And of course, when you hear the knowledge of the soul world, it made me feel very, very peaceful. When you come to Baba and hear the knowledge, you think, oh, I know this. And the other interesting thing, well, was that even though I was searching, I mean, I was doing about 4 or 5 simultaneous spiritual practices and finally came to the BKs, even though I said I wasn't into God. But it was very interesting. I can remember I was quite new starting at work, and I was quite young, and it was quite tough. It was very challenging, the work. I was working in Bradford in England, and seeing all the patients that the other dentists couldn't or wouldn't treat. It was very, about 60% of the population ethnic. And I was very new, and I can literally remember going into the toilet after a couple of months, I'm putting my hands on my head and saying, oh my God. Interesting, you know, even though I'm not into God, oh my God, I can't stand this anymore. And it was an amazing experience. This point of light just came, and it was like, whoop. And I was completely peaceful for days, and it was so profound, but I didn't know what it was. And then, of course, I think about 6 or 9 months later, you know, we took the course, and I'm being told God's a point of light. Yeah, yeah, it's okay, I'm okay with that.
Isn't it wonderful when those kinds of things happen? You get confirmation like, okay, so that's what I saw.
It was a feeling. I mean, okay. This thing about, you know, seeing, but it's like you're seeing through your experience. I mean, Shabbat sure. often says that, doesn't it? It's actually our experience. I actually felt that very strongly, and I've had quite a few experiences like that in Gyan, where even with yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Brother David, I think we could start with Man Manabhav.
So Man Manabhav basically is the guy on the top floor. The man above, is it? Yeah. It's not here. It's a Sanskrit word. Actually, it's a double N. I know I'm a terrifier. I always spot the snake. It should have a double N. Man above. I just think it means, okay, the Sanskrit word, it's translated in a few different ways. But, okay, turn your mind to me. Be mine with your mind. Remember only me. So, as we've heard from all the other contributions, it's just like that total focus on God. But what Baba has done is that he's actually explained the methodology of doing that, because you can't just turn your mind to God.
Right.
Baba have explained, move yourself away from the consciousness of the body and all the relationships of the body,
right.
And the relations of the body and all the things to do with the body, and in the consciousness of the soul, then turn your mind to me. So Baba's Gyan gives us the how-to. Because there's a difference between thinking about something and actually experiencing it, and
right.
So for me, I mean, I've thought about this quite a lot. It's like if all of us know, and you know, you say 5 years or two. Benjamin's been with us 2 years, haven't you, Ben?
Two and a half.
And, you know, I was just thinking, in Baba's Gyan, there was a time when physically we all started, we were all babies.
Right.
And I can remember the first time we came to Madhuban. We'd only been in Gyan a couple of months. And I didn't have any whites, and I said to Sister Chindi, is it okay if I come in jeans? And she said, yeah, it's fine, David. And then I remember writing a letter, and I wrote it. I gave it to Sister Jenty, and she giggled and smiled, because I put to She Baba, S-H-E, Baba, because all I could hear was, you know, remember She Baba. And I hadn't done the Hindi at that time, so she just smiled. But it And I have fond memories, actually, of the Tower of Peace, because I can remember our first visit. We used to sit around the tree around the Tower of Peace and sort out the grain. But the thing is, it's just like when we touch Gyan, it's as if we've known it forever. And this is the magic. And actually, it's true. You know, it's so. I know we say, it's true, okay, like when we hear the experience of the daddies meeting Brahma Baba, and we used to get a bit, oh, now probably souls listening to souls like myself who had a chance to meet Prabhupada so many times. Now, souls who've been in Gyan 10 years and the souls coming new will say, wow, 10 years, I'm only new. But actually, it's the same. Once you touch the Gyan, it doesn't matter whether it's 50 years, 40 years, 30 years. Because actually, it's what you do with it. And I remember
exactly.
Brother Jagdish, when he came, many of you might have heard this story, Brother Jagdish, and he said to Mama, you know, he came in, I think, in the early 50s, and he said to Mama, I've come so late. How can I catch up? And Mama told Jagdish, if you practice soul consciousness constantly from now, not only will you catch up, but you'll go ahead. And I can remember sitting in Shanti Bhavan with a brother's place in London years ago with Daddy Janki, and it must have been a long time ago, because he said, Daddy, you know, you've been with Baba 40 years, and I've only been with Baba 4 years. And then someone else said, I've only been with Baba 4 months. And then someone else said, I've only been with Baba 4 weeks. And I remember Daddy said something really nice at that time. And it's always stuck in my mind. She said, it doesn't matter how long you've been with Baba, but if you make efforts from your heart with honesty, even if there isn't enough time for you to become karmatis, Baba will make you karmatis. And I really like that, because it breaks all the rules of Gyan, doesn't it?
So now, Brother David, I want to ask you, how do you use... So what does Manmanabhav do for you?
It just means I have Baba at the center of my universe. Mm. And I have to be a little bit careful what I say, because I've listened to all the other classes and we've been told, you know, don't watch films, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Now, I did all the don'ts at the beginning and end up with a little bit of... We call it low moods now, but it's called depression. So you get so far in that you don't do this and don't do that and reject this and don't go here and don't look at your relatives and don't do this and it's fine, but what I found is that there's two ways of doing Gyan, if I can put it like that. One is what I call the rejectionist. So you reject everything. You keep everything out. You know, you don't want to mix with people who are body conscious. You don't do anything to do with the old world. And there's a reason for that, so we don't get influenced. But you can't really do that. It's quite uncomfortable.
Very good, yeah.
It feels very uncomfortable. And the other is what I call the appreciationist. Now, I don't know how that's going to translate. But actually, you come to a point where Baba's the centre of your universe by appreciating everything. Now, if you just go quiet for a minute, just listen. Can you hear the birds? Can you hear the birds singing? It's something that I've become really aware of. Well, now there's honking and all that stuff. But actually, because I've always loved nature, I've noticed when I wake up, just like abroad, the birds are twittering before, well, it's still dark, so the birds kind of know it's going to be dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And even just here, before everyone came in, I could hear the birds singing. I thought, do you know, the thing about appreciation, I think Sister Jenty mentioned it last night, the birds are singing all the time. If we go out, anyway, afterwards, go and just stand, and you'll hear, there's so many birds around here, it's absolutely gorgeous. Whether I hear them or not depends on where I put my consciousness.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
once I've appreciated, oh wow, how lovely the birds are, then if I choose, I will then be aware.
Right.
Or be conscious of the birds every time, and then I can sort of take that joy from it. So that's how I kind of make Baba the center of my universe. I really need, well, for me, I've sort of had a conversation with myself about, I've sat myself down and I've made sure that I've appreciated Baba.
That's important.
You know, Baba's knowledge, Baba's family, all the things that Baba's done in my life. I had a little journey of care through thyroid cancer about 16 years back. And Maureen and I were chatting about that what would it have been like
right.
if we hadn't had Baba's knowledge and Baba? I mean, it would have been probably awful, but it was all plain sailing, and I ended up being able to take early retirement on health grounds, which was great. So I was quite happy about that. But it's like when I deeply appreciate Baba, then I just have this immense love for Baba. And I mean, basically, Bridgebone in his session basically defined man above as love. And
happiness. I remember.
Sorry?
First you said Bridgemohanbhai.
Bridgemohanbhai.
And he actually said happiness.
And
that
happiness.
Was the first thing he said was, it's just happiness. Manmanabhava is happiness.
And I think that's it. And the thing is, what I've done is I've sat myself down. Well, actually I'm a kinesthetic learner? I have to move.
Kinesthetic.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I would kick footballs when I was learning things. And,
right.
I find it very challenging to sit still.
And visual.
As you've probably noticed. Although I do here in Madhavan, but I like to move and...
Now, Brother David, I just want to rewind a bit when you talked about... taking a little sorrow from Baba's knowledge, and I did that in the very beginning when I first came to Gyan, when reading Baba's Merli, hearing it being read to me, and I would take some sorrow about don't go to the movies, don't do this, don't do that. But what I heard Dr. Sachin Bhai said the other day is what's not happening enough is churning. We need to churn more so that we really get to the depths of the understanding of Baba's Merli. And it's not something, it's okay if you do it on your own, but I think it's good to do it in groups, pairs, and that's what's really helped me to understand Baba's knowledge and love it and have fun with it and enjoy it. And some people say, wow, you're just really enjoying Baba's Merli. Why not? All the answers are there for me, whatever I'm going through. Brother David, in the Manmanabhava, I've had few things that have happened in my life, and one being my dad. He left the body about 2 years ago. But what was wonderful about it was he also took Yan, so he loved it. He loved the family. He recognized Baba after some time talking about, you know, well, what about Christ? What about Jesus Christ? And then that stopped, and he just created his own program with Baba. It was like his blessing cards, his, reading all, he told me all about Daddy Janki. I only learned everything about Daddy Janki because he read all the books I gave him. And so he left the body, and he got lung cancer. And he just, the way that he left was so peaceful, and he recognized Baba at the end. He says, the Almighty Baba, at the end. I'm like, wow, that's the way to go. And I took no sorrow. I was very strong. I was very, because like you were saying, it was Baba helped me. And everybody said they were looking at me at the funeral because I was so strong. And I would not have been able to do that without Baba, without Manmanabhava in my life. And the same day, funny enough, I had to leave the funeral, and, well, actually we didn't have a funeral, we did a cremation. And the same day I received an award for the TV show. So I literally had to leave the funeral, the cremation, and go to the award. But I know that's what my dad would have wanted. He would have been happy. But he knew he was going, because when I told him, "Oh, Dad, you know, you have to get your suit. We're going to my award ceremony," and he was so detached. He knew that he was not going to be around for it, and he just had good wishes for me. But it was Man Man Above, and having Baba and having the knowledge, that really helped me to get through that situation. So now let's touch on this wonderful subject of Madhyaji Bhav.
Let's come back to that in a minute.
Okay.
I just one thing, because I tend to sort of go around. I want to just clarify this thing of appreciation, and also, like, for me, I like to connect everything outside back to Baba. So that's how I practice Man Man Above. So it's something which I sort of picked up from Sister Sudesh or Sudesh Didi, and she definitely picked it up from Brahma Baba, of kind of connecting Lokic things or worldly things into spiritual, because I find that gives a lot of pleasure.
Yes.
And also, coming back to this thing, I find I can be less of a rejectionist and more of a appreciationist. So, you know, my whole life was like sport. Like, I think my mum said, even when I was a kid, I didn't cry. Thursday's baby. And she said he used to just roll balls, oranges, up and down, and gurgle a little bit when you were hungry.
Okay.
Then I found a picture of myself when I was 4, sitting cross-legged like a yogi on my dad's car with a football in. And basically, ever pretty much up until I went to university, my whole life was basically sport. It was basically activity. And so the idea of kind of sitting down all the time in meditation wasn't awfully appealing to me. And so I very much like this idea of connecting things back, external things back inside. Like, for instance, I didn't watch much football for about 30 odd years. And then I just thought, you know, I started to watch a bit of football, and then one of the sisters said, "Well, how can you watch your football? You shouldn't be watching football." I said, "Sister, look, come on, you've got 22 players on the referee. That's 23 souls to give drishti to." And then if you scan round the ground, you can practice to see 50,000 or 60,000 people as souls. I mean, you know, that's a pretty good return. We're going to play a song at the end, so I want to mention this now.
Right. You're going to mention it now?
Because it's connecting. You see, what I find is Baba takes what you have before Gyan and somehow connects it to you. So it's a bit of a funny one, really, because I'm here. My dad, he was nearly 98, bless him, and he was a good soul. He passed away a week ago, and I've been spending a lot of time with him. And it's interesting, when I came to Baba, Baba sort of came in a dream. It's like a... Do you have dreams where, you know, it feels like for real? It's not just one of these. It feels very real. And it was actually, funny enough, it was because I was Maureen and myself. Some of you know I'm married to Sister Maureen, who's in London. And when we were taking the course, Baba came in the dream, and he was standing there. And one hand he had Maureen, and the other hand he had me. And I don't know how it does in the subtle region, you don't really speak, but you know what Baba's saying. And he said, "Right, you're both brother and sister now, so you're both my children now, so you're brother and sister now." So I said, "Yeah, okay, that's good." So that was the celibacy bit done. That was pretty cool. But the interesting thing in that dream for me was that actually it was my Lokic father's face, which in a funny sort of way is quite similar to Brahma Baba. And then it changed into Brahma Baba. So I found it kind of curious that Baba sort of comes in through that Lokic and then changes as if Baba was giving a message. And the other thing that, because I was literally sport crazy, basically, that was my whole life was activity, doing things. The theme tune from Liverpool, which is where I'm from, is "You'll Never Walk Alone," and I'm going to play the song at the end. And the words are very, very, very beautiful. But what happened in the dream? I had this dream, and it was like the whole world was out on the street. I can't do this. Anyway, if you watch a clip, you know, with the football match where they hold the scarves above their head, and everyone was holding a red and white scarf, and they're all going, I thought, wow, this is good, it's Liverpool. And then the dream changed, and, spooky, and I was really new again. It all changed, and they all had Baba on their lips. And the whole world was just saying, Baba.
Well,
and you'll never walk alone with Baba. And
I don't mean.
So I didn't... this is probably being recorded, isn't it? So I don't actually... I don't tell a lot of people about this, because they think I'm a bit funny at the best of times. But why I'm sharing that is... That's, I feel Baba somehow comes in through our own life and sort of connects something through my father, through my football, through my sport, and connects myself to Baba.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be different for you guys, you know, because I know probably for some sisters football would be an abhorrent. And because of that, I've always been very aware or very cognizant of things that can connect me back to Baba. So it's a bit of a strange one, really, because I really thought I was an atheist. I didn't think I was into God. And even in Gyan, it took me a long time to actually believe that I was into God. It's kind of a strange one. I love the Morley. I mean, I couldn't get enough of the Morley. I mean, if me and Maureen didn't write, you know, if we missed one word when we write the Morley, that, oh, God, it's no good. You've got to get everything. And I can remember saying to one of the sisters, you know, I just love this Morley. This knowledge is just fantastic, but I'm really not sure about this, you know, God bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she said, David, you budu. You twit, sweet idiot. She said, look, where does this knowledge come from? I said, well. She said, where does this knowledge come from? Of course, she said, so it comes from God, right? It comes from Baba. So she said, if you love the Morley, if you love the knowledge, then it means you love God. And it actually kind of twigged, because I loved Baba's knowledge. And I loved Baba's Srimat. I mean, even in the beginning, even if there was just one person in class, more anyway, and I said, Brother's five, there's only one person in class. So I loved Baba's Srimat. I loved Baba's knowledge. And then it became clear, because of my block on God, I did love God, and I did love Baba's directions and Baba's Srimat, but I hadn't appreciated because of this block, because of this old image of God.
So let's do Madhya Jiva.
Okay, so Madhya Jiva. Right, guys, do we know what it means? Let's get back to the basics. Okay. you Hindi speakers. Okay. Yeah. Anyone else? Madhya. What does it mean? Mick. Remember the one in the middle. Yeah, it is. So Madhya means, it's Hindi, means middle. So Madhya Pradesh is a state in India which is in the middle. So basically it means remember the one in the middle. So that means it remembers the one in the Trimurti, okay? Which is Brahma, Vishnu, and in Baba's knowledge it's Shankar.
And what do you call it the other day?
Out there it's Shiv Shankar. It's very confused in bhakti. So you've got Brahma, Vishnu and Shankar. So what does the Trimurti represent? Kantaben, your two gyani. So what does the Trimurti represent? How are you going to explain the Trimurti? I mean, when we first came into Gan, when we did the lessons on the gods, we actually used the Hindi pictures of the Trimurti. And yeah. It's got nothing to do with double foreigners. No. But we're not double foreigners. We are the original residents of Bharat. Okay, come on, guys. How would you explain the Trimurti to a Westerner? You've got, I don't know, 30 seconds, or maybe. Benjamin.
The way I see this is three spiritual powers, starting, continuing, through nourishment, and then stopping.
Okay, so creation, sustenance, destruction.
Yeah.
So,
in our own spiritual process.
Okay. Yeah. So it basically, I mean, look, you know this anyway, but it basically represents the acts of God.
Right.
So it represents what God does. That's why I kind of like this, what God does do and what God doesn't do. So I'm just remembering the picture. In the early days, they asked Brahma Baba, or that's Baba, why is Brahma sitting and Shankar sitting and Vishnu standing? And apparently Brahma Baba's very deep gyani answer was, oh, it wouldn't look nice with Vishnu sitting cross-legged on the floor. That's the deep answer. So my understanding of this, okay, it represents the three acts of God. So God doesn't destroy, does he? Because in bhakti, on the path of bhakti, they represent Shankar they mix up Shankar and Shiva, and then Shiva's called the destroyer. But of course that doesn't make sense, does it?
Doesn't?
No, because everything's eternal, right? So everything that's eternal can't have a beginning and an end, can it, if it's eternal? So you can only get eternity in cyclic time. I mean, slightly digressing, but that's the only way you can represent eternity is through a cycle, right? So even if you have a straight line that goes on to infinity, theoretically a straight line has a beginning and an ending, so you can't get eternity into something that has a beginning and an ending unless you conveniently put the ending back to the beginning, and then you get the cycle, which has each cycle has a beginning, middle and an end. But as Baba says, there isn't ever the first cycle. So that then raises the question, if God is the creator, then what does he create, and what does creation mean? Because matter is eternal, souls are eternal, God is eternal, and that's why my understanding is that the only way to represent three eternal things is cyclic. And for me, this gave a fantastic insight into what God does, because Baba, we all know Baba's Gan, but the fact that the cycle's going and God comes at a certain time to actually, it's not create, it's actually to recreate, which is, I really like that, because when you, like, recreation is a big deal now, you know, people like to go out for recreation, and so Baba, in a sense, the Brahma, Vishnu and Shankar represent the subtle deities. So basically they represent God's acts, and the subtle deities, because they're subtle, and so the subtle region, or the subtle, is basically a recreation ground. It's a playground for playing out. And I think I'm getting this right. I hope so. I mean, some of the things that in the early days, Baba used to say that there would be purity through Brahma, peace through Shankar, and happiness through Vishnu. That's how Baba would explain the Trimurti. So the creative impulse is something new, right? Which Baba talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
So there's newness. And we would explain the Trimurti as the mind, intellect, and scars. So, because Baba actually says you have to become a master Trimurti. So Baba creates something new. He simultaneously removes the old, which is destruction, and then, so that's Shankar. So Brahma representing a new impulse through the purity, pure thoughts based on Gyan. Shankar representing the bodiless stage, hence he's naked, with a scarf. Obviously it's a bit colder at the top of the mountain, so you obviously need a scarf. And therefore when you're bodiless, you're peaceful. And Vishnu, which is the aim and object, represents the happiness. Or, so Vishnu is maintenance. Okay, sustenance, but it's maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So you create something new, so you create a pure thought, you simultaneously are removing the old thought pattern,
right. Mm-hmm.
And then we all know, don't we? You know, you have a realization, and you say, "Wow, that's it! I've been to Madhavan, and I've had this really nice experience." And you go back, and then all the old patterns come back. And so Vishnu, with the four symbols, is basically the symbol of our study.
Right.
Well, that's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So the four images that Vishnu holds allow us to sustain what's been created, so that the new pattern can be sustained. And that's why Baba says, you know, you have realization in a second, but it takes time to become perfect, and it takes time to become karma teeth, and it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, is that?
Eight out of ten.
Okay. What did I miss out? Could we have a mic, do you think? Would it help? Hand mic?
Are they coming?
Chaye? Thank you.
Actually, while they're doing that, we can just take a moment now just to digest some of what we've heard, and if we have any questions, we might be able to think about any of it at this time.
I just feel that it's nice if people can relate to it. What's it got to do with me, Brahma, Vishnu, Shankar? It's all very Indian, and it's all very, you know, foreign. So what I try and do say is, with me, like Brahma, Vishnu, Shankar, the creator, the sustainer, and the destroyer. So at one stage, I am the one who's in thinking of something new. Say if I'm in business, and I'm going to open a new showroom, right? So that's my Brahma creation bit.
Right.
Then I take a partner to help me in my business.
Right.
So it becomes a partnership of Lakshmi and Narayan.
Right.
And the word Vishnu, interesting enough, Vish means poison, and Nu means none, having none. So you've got to be pure, you've got to be you know, somebody honest and Vishnu, and then the two together. Vishnu means having no poison, viceless. Yeah.
No poison.
No poison.
Viceless.
And so my partnership could be with God. I could ask God to be my partner to start something new. And then the third bit is, once you started something new, you're not going to look after, you're not going to spend money or time on the old one. So you forget about the old one, you destroy the old, and you concentrate right. more on the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brahma Vishnu Shankar. It's just a little bit of a
thank you.
Interest added to it to say we're so all Brahma Vishnu Shankar.
We are.
Snakes. Yeah, it's a muffler. It's
thank
quite
you.
Cold up at the top of the mountain. So, you know,
that's you know, that's exactly
keep,
how
keep, keep
that's exactly how I look
keep
at Brahma Vishnu.
Warm.
Yeah. That's exactly how I look at Brahma Vishnu Shankar, is I relate it to myself. And you can also share with others. I mean, the picture is very, you know, from Hindu background. But if you explain it that way, they accept it very easily. Right, I can see some head shaking. It's like you just have to be creative with the pictures, with the knowledge, and people will understand. Feel the pulse.
I think that the main thing is that it's an image. It's a representation. Even, I heard recently that even amongst the straw poll, amongst the seniors, there's a... You know, there's the pro that Shankar, you know, does exist and is a soul, and some believe he's not. And so, in a sense, Baba has to use the imagery, and it doesn't really, in a sense, it doesn't really matter to me whether it's right or wrong. The main thing is that if I'm using it, the way that I'm using the knowledge, is it beneficial? In other words,
right.
if thinking about Gyan in a certain way is useful to me, then it's great. And
right.
and we shouldn't really get caught up in the debate about, you know, is it right or wrong? Because actually,
no.
I've realized that there are some things in Gyan which are black and something which is white, but there's a lot of grey in the middle, and there's not a huge amount of agreement even amongst some of the seniors.
Correct, yeah.
And which to me is a beautiful thing, because it means I can use Gyan as it applies to me.
Right.
So I can listen to someone's churning.
Correct.
And that may spark me off in a new way. But I just need to use it so that it's beneficial.
Right.
Because the other thing, you know, while it's in my mind, you know, Brahma Vishnu Shankar, Baba has said in the Maulis, it's in the wrong order actually. It should be Brahma Shankar Vishnu. In other words, you create something, you simultaneously remove the old. So like I said, you create a new thought pattern. You remove the old thought pattern, and then you've got to sustain it. But you know, probably if you ask Baba, why have you got it? Why have you got it, Brahma Vishnu Shankar? He said, well, it looks nice.
It looks nice like that, right?
It looks like my balance. You know, it's got
right.
a nice balanced picture.
Yes.
And there's a symmetry.
It's a symmetry, right.
And the other thing is that, the funny thing is that Baba had to use the images that were already there on the path of devotion or the path of bhakti.
Correct.
Because all the souls that were coming were steeped in bhakti, particularly at the beginning where there wasn't clear knowledge, so we have to use those images. So it's a bit funny. So then, the image is really just images, but then Baba sort of perpetuates it by using them. And it's for me, it's really important to understand that it's an image. And I can remember there was one. We used to have a picture of Vishnu in the center years ago, and there was this young Indian boy. He must have been about 7 or 8, and he said, he was obviously very bright. He said, there's something wrong with this picture. I said, what do you mean there's something? He said, well, he's got 4 arms. He said, well, I said, clever clogs, he's an Indian deity. He said, yes, but if he has 4 arms, he should have 4 legs, right? actually, I had to agree with him. I said, well, that's because it's symbolic. I said, it's Vishnu, it's the 2 arms of the male. And the two arms, the female, and it represents the balance of male and female energy.
Yeah,
and that's why it's got four arms and only two legs.
Right.
So he said, okay, right. So it's not real, it's an image. He said, yeah. The next thing this kid said to me, he said, do you believe in the Big Bang Theory? Then he ate. And I said, actually, as a matter of fact, I don't. So this kid says, no, I don't either. He said, because the Big Bang Theory doesn't explain where the stuff came from to bang together, does it? And I said, I agree with you. And actually, he must have been a reincarnated scientist, but actually, you know, Baba explains that, you know? Baba, it's like out there, you know, Baba has explained the eternity of matter and souls and, you know, the cycle and the eternity. And Baba's often included going back up to the soul world as part of the cycle, because you've got to come from somewhere. And for me, that was such a beautiful thing to understand, so of God's act of creation. You know, I mentioned the recreation, because otherwise no one can explain this, because matter is eternal. So the chicken or the egg? And of course the answer is both. You know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Which comes first, the seed or the tree? And the answer is the seed comes from the tree and the tree comes from the seed. And Baba's the only one who can really explain that. And just while it's in my mind, you know, going back to a more subtle aspect of Brahma, Vishnu and Shankar, if we, you know, when we teach like the mind, intellects and scars, I think that picture there is an anatomy of consciousness. So
right.
It's mind, intellects and scars and the soul in the middle. So we've had some discussion on this, which I found is quite interesting, that you know, in the Mali, sometimes Baba says you have to become a master Trimurti. So just like sort of Baba, you know, uses the image or the role of Brahma, Vishnu and Shankar to perform his acts and then sort of steps back. Another aspect of being master Trimurti is, you know, the soul consciousness is I'm a soul and this one's a soul and you see the centre of the forehead and all that stuff. So that's one aspect we have to practice. But then a more subtle aspect, which is connected to the Trimurti, is when I, the soul, sit in the middle of mind, intellect and sanskaras, and I become the master creator. So I step in to the mind when I need to think or, you know, create some feelings or whatever. I step into the intellect when I need to decide, and I step into the sanskars when I need to express. And, you know, we do this on the course, but it's like it's going out and coming back, going out. And so for me, it's not something I've mastered, but it does feel a sort of a nice practice, which is connected to being Madhya Jibhava, because it's as if you're becoming, well, you're becoming Vishnu by using all the four subjects of our study, and you're practicing the red thread which goes through our study, which is basically be self-conscious and remember Baba. I mean, that's really the only Srimad, isn't it? Everything else is to fulfill that. And you can't remember Baba, do the man and above bit, unless you're soul conscious first. So,
But there's also soul conscious and God conscious. There's two different aspects as well.
Yeah. Tell me more.
So conscious that I am a soul, right, in this body, and also conscious that God, Baba. So the awareness of two. There are two distinct consciousness.
The first one does apply to man above. So
yes.
I it remembered me, but actually, you know, even, you know, Baba's knowledge is just, it's so lovely. I love the Sakamores,
yes,
because it's so, I won't say contradictory, it's not the right word, but it is paradoxical. That, I mean, to me, that's the beauty of it. You know, one day Baba will say, how can you explain to children without having a chart or a map? If
right,
they want to know where India is or London, they have to show them
yes,
a map. And then,
yeah,
you know, next day, or sometimes even in the same Morley, Baba will say, are you such idiots if you can't explain Gan without, why do you need all the pictures? So it's like,
it's coming from a place of love, though.
You know, it's coming from a place of love, but it's like, I mean, actually, some of you in Sister Gentie's showing last night, you know, everything has context, and without context, everything gets distorted. So if you take a couple of lines out of Baba's Morley,
mm-hmm,
and you don't have the context before and after, not only does it distort the gyan, but it can actually completely change the meaning. You know, you see that.
Correct.
We were talking about that. You know, you see that where there's a 15-minute interview with, you know, someone, and then on the news thing, you know, an hour later, they've taken three lines or a couple of lines of what you said, and it's exactly word perfect, but the context is there,
okay,
and so it completely distorts it. And
mm-hmm,
so, and my own feeling is that, you know, Baba's gown one day can be black, and tomorrow can be white, and that's kind of okay.
So what I'm hearing is that we have to personalize Baba's Gyan. So as you said, all the seniors, they have their own different interpretation of Baba's Gyan. Same, but different. And so with the difference, we can actually relate to each one according to our intellect, our mind, our sanskars, and implement it into our own lives. And that's important. I'm glad you said that with the differences, there is the sameness, but each one processes information in a different way to imbibe and act it out in that way. So it's good that there's differences, and it's not that, I like to use the word flat. We want to have that hills and valleys of information.
Because yeah,
mm-hmm,
we when we had a little chat about this, we were talking about this. I mean, if I'm thinking about it, you know, 40 years on, I've come to this realization that it's all very flexible. I think at the beginning, I think I was very fundamental and took everything as black and white. But
that's
actually, it's really important for spiritual well-being to be very flexible how you use Baba's knowledge, I feel.
Correct.
Because otherwise we can become very fundamental and take it so rigidly that it's actually quite harmful. And
yes,
you know, Baba says you should enjoy this life, which I interpret as being to be in joy. I'm sure that's where the word comes from, to enjoy, not in a superficial sense, but to be in a state of joy. And again, that's,
mm-hmm,
you know, when you start connecting it back to the qualities that, I hope I've got these right, you know, purity through Brahma, peace through Shankar, sort of happiness through Vishnu, then in a sense being happy or being joyful, being content, not getting fazed by things, is actually practicing Madhya Jivava.
Right.
In a practical way. And the other thing that we did talk about it, it's just coming in my mind. It's really important. Well, two things are really important. You know, when Baba says, you know, you've got to be constantly happy, or you've got to become calm-at-ease, that's the end product. We can't be calm-at-ease now, otherwise we wouldn't be in the body, right? And so, this is something which I, you know, you know, when you're making effort and you want, you know, Baba says, you know, you've got to make intense effort. And of course, actually in Hindi, tivya really is more closely translated as fast efforts, because in the West, when we use the word intense, we take it as, you know, giving ourselves stress. and it's more fast. It means quick effort, something that's moving very quickly. I lost my train of thought now. What's that? Oh yes, being very flexible with the knowledge, so that I'm not making effort to become peaceful, and I'm not feeling tense about making effort. Because sometimes, you know, you're talking about we use the Morley to bash yourself. You know, Baba says, right, you've got to become Karmateet, or you've got to become viceless. Or Baba, in the Morley the other evening, wasn't it? It was lovely. You know, Baba said, okay, if you haven't become this yet, well, you know, by the end of the evening or by tomorrow, I can't remember quite what he said, become that. And I found it's something one of the seniors said to me at the beginning, and it took me a long, long time to understand what it meant. She said, David, you have to make efforts in soul consciousness. Because if you make spiritual endeavor in body consciousness, you'll be thinking about becoming soul conscious, and you'll be thinking about remembering Baba and being man above, but you won't feel relaxed about it. It'll be like a tension,
mm-hmm.
and it feels very uncomfortable. And so it's really important. I mean, it's been really important for me times in my BK life to actually notice when I'm so eager to be with Baba, or I'm so eager to be soul conscious, or I'm so eager to make nice efforts, that I'm actually probably, if we plug me into the, you know, the machines, I'd be in a stress, I'd be in stress mode. And that's when, because body consciousness perverts or twists up my pure desire to make the best effort and become, like Bob said, part of a rosary of victory. And it screws that up,
mm-hmm.
and it makes me feel tense. And that's really important.
Right, we have a few minutes left. Okay. I would like to pause and see if anybody has any questions before we finish up. Any suggestions? Any yes? Do you want to use the mic so that we can have you? Yeah.
It's being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
You may. you could become a film star, you know, after this.
He's already a film star.
So what I'm going to do is really quickly share with you my turning of Mariachi Bob, just
sure.
to hear your...
Absolutely.
Opinion. Is that all right? It's really quick. Can I sit on this?
Yeah.
Oh, they're fake. Sorry. So when I was younger, I read this very famous text of classic Western literature called The Symposium by Plato. And in this text, there's this myth about the creation of the humans. And the human was originally created with four arms, four legs, and two heads. It was called the duad. And they got to be too powerful, but the gods depended on their sacrifices to sustain themselves. So Zeus, being the cleverest of all the gods, decided to shoot them with a lightning bolt, divide them in half. They would now have twice the amount of sacrifices, therefore twice the amount of offerings and twice the amount of power for the gods. And the humans would be walking around with one head, two legs, and two arms.
Mm.
But the issue would be that the rest of their life, the humans would be looking for their soulmate because they would be cut in half. And so that's the Western idea of love. And really it's the Western idea of everything because it's all externalized. I have to go find it. And my churning of Mariachi Bhav is, instead of me being Narayan, I have to go find Lakshmi and pick up that mirror and make sure I'm not a monkey. I'm not Narada, right? I'm no Narada, I'm Narayan. I do need to shave. And then earning the goddess. Instead, I become both the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine within. And I marry myself to my highest self. And by turning everything, because in all reality, all of this is you becoming the best you, and you improving your relationship with God. That's what Mariachi Bhav is for me.
Beautiful.
In the end, it's just, it is the aim, but it is the method, and it is the start, just like you said about. So I often struggle to understand the difference between Manamana Bhav and Mariachi Bhav, because keep my mind with you, but this is what I'm doing to do that.
It's the difference is the spelling, basically.
So that's just my turning. I was wondering what you guys think.
Great.
Thank you.
Yes, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Go and explore. Yeah. Let's put the British to shame, all these people who can speak multiple languages. That's very interesting, isn't it? So that Vishnu isn't external. It's the balance of our male and female qualities. And
yes, very well said. That's why. You know, I don't want to forget, though. Go ahead. Okay.
Use the microphone. It's because I'm just thinking it's nice if
they can hear the question.
If anyone does decide to listen to this,
right? Sure.
Nice point. So I think that's the reason Baba keeps telling us that, you know, go rise above genders and think of yourself as not a sister or a brother, but we're all brothers.
Yeah.
Because and that also explains the two births of a male and two births of a female.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything is within us. And what we are trying to do is find outside, internalize everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Taught the dadis initially, that, you know, don't think you're women or sisters.
And now we have to beyond genders and agendas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it is actually, I don't know, it's really interesting now because, okay, there's transgender, but there's also this new term that people talk where people don't want to be labelled as male and female.
Right.
What? Well, it. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So it's whatever works. You know, it's just non-specific is the term. Non-specific. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One final image comes that when we were doing the self-managing leadership stuff, for some of you. Know about that. Someone said Vishnu is the perfect self-managing leader because Vishnu represents the female qualities and also the masculine qualities. Because Lakshmi, I think in Hindi, Laksh is the aim, and then Lakshan is the qualifications that go with that aim. So you've got the soft skills, which is the I suppose like the feminine, the virtues, and then Narayan is the symbolizes like the mastery and being that.
Right.
So I quite like that. So Vishnu, who manages, is a self-managing leader.
And when you see it, it's very lovely when you see someone, you know, when you see a Brahmin, when they have the two balance, that male and female energy, it's very beautiful. And that's, you can see that royalty in it, with that balance. Huh? And that power, when that, you know, there's that balance. I was joking when Brother David and I were having a conversation. I said, I'm convinced I was a David in a previous birth, because I have all these Brother Davids around me. So, and I'm very connected with my male Sanskar. As a little girl, I really was this little boy. I thought I was a boy. But then I sort of transitioned and said, you know what, I think I'm really a girl. So what I'm doing now is I'm harmonizing the two to become that perfect Vishnu. I don't want to forget, though, because Baba spoke in the earlier couple of days about the coat of arms. And I immediately, because I saw they were selling them outside after Murli, I said, I have to go get my coat of arms. So I put my coat of arms on today so I would remember. So anyway, some of you have to get back to Pandabhavan. So we want to finish with your wonderful Liverpudlian song. Did I say that right? Liverpudlian.
What you need to do is you just block off your nose. You just talk like this, like John Lennon used to talk, you know, through your nose, like it's pretty easy really. Do you want to try that?
Okay.
Just talk through
your nose. I used to be really good at accents, but I'm not that good anymore. I don't know which one that was, a Scottish or Liverpudlian. Okay, so we'll finish now with that wonderful Liverpool.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if anyone else has any more thoughts, we could we can have a chat afterwards.
Yeah, we can chat afterwards.
Or just grab us another time because it's quite an interesting topic, essentially.
Yeah.